Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Anna Castillo's here, a longtime Chicago poet, novelist, award winner. She's going to be at Lit Fest as well. We're going to talk about her new memoir, Black Dove. Also coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Hawk Harrelson, the Chicago White Sox play-by-play announcer who only does road games now. He's sort of in half retirement. And we'll decide. He'll let us know if it's working. He told the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, if he didn't like this part-time gig, he was going to retire. So we're sort of into June. We'll see if he likes it, and we'll talk with Hawk Harrelson about his career coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, my guest at the big table, you know, it's not every day that you get a Broadway composer up here in the studio. And I've been looking for one. Scott Frankel is one of the best. He worked in musicals for years. He was nominated for a Tony for his work on Grey Gardens. He's in Chicago to premiere his newest work. He wrote the music for the new Goodman Theater production of War Paint, starring Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole. Scott's done it all. He's been a musical director, a pianist, a conductor, and he's going to be at the Lit Fest this weekend at the Hotel Blake, Saturday at 12:30 p.m. It's a panel discussion about War Paint, moderated by the Tribune's Chris Jones. War Paint, of course, starts at the end of the month. Scott Frankel, thanks for being here.
Hey, Justin. Happy to be here. That half-retirement thing is sounding pretty good to me about now.
Just road games,
just,
right?
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Well, let's talk about War Paint. This is a highly anticipated musical here
in
Chicago. We've been talking about it forever.
World premiere at the Goodman. So happy to be here. We've been in rehearsals, and the show's about two cosmetics titans in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth Arden. And they famously hated each other.
Right.
And this incredible rivalry and competition we kind of explore through song and dance and text and all of the good stuff with two amazing actresses, Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole.
You mentioned that, you know, you're in rehearsals. When is the rehearsal process for a Broadway musical like this that's going to start a world premiere in Chicago? When does the rehearsal process start?
We did about 3 weeks of rehearsal in New York, and we came to Chicago on Monday. So it'll be about 4.5 weeks of rehearsals in a rehearsal room with props and scenery, and then we move downstairs to the theater for costumes and lights and orchestra and all of those
the fun stuff.
Exciting elements.
When you're deciding to do a musical on something that's about cosmetics, where do you even start with that? Because you're not basing it on it. This is actually off a story, a book. But talk about, how do you put the music together? Is it sort of the idea of, oh, this would be, you know, let's go salsa. I think salsa would be great. Like, how do you bring the music out in a production like this?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Rubinstein was a Polish emigre. So she was short and had Central European accent. So some of that appears in her musical language. Arden was from Canada. And was much more of a kind of prim and proper, you would say a Ralph Lauren type now, elegant and kind of the horsey set.
So you're actually using that background, pulling out research on these people to figure out what the musical language is going to be.
Absolutely. And Rubinstein as a Jewish European has a certain sound, and Arden is a kind of, you know, horsey, elegant, wasp aspiring lady, has a different kind of sound as well. But also it's a treat to, because we travel from different decades, 30s, 40s, 50s,
right,
and 60s, to kind of play with the sound. And when we get to the 1950s, there's a wonderful production number in Act Two called Fire and Ice, and which was a huge Revlon campaign. And Revlon and Charles Revson features it into the plot of the show. And there's a great Bongolicious. That's the tempo marking on that song. It says Bongolicious, and it's a big production number, as if on, you know, with all the 50s colors you could ask for.
Well, I mean, is that, as a composer, when you're inspired by a text or you're inspired by a story, is that really what you're looking for? You're looking for decades, then what kind of music was happening then? You're doing a little bit research on the characters, where they're from?
Yeah, I think that there's that. And there's also, when you look at a musical or a story or something to develop, you know, that people usually say, do the characters sing? Do you want to hear interior thoughts and hopes and feelings and emotions from these characters? And I think with these two ladies, you really do. Not only about how they feel about each other, but about how they feel about themselves. And the other thing I should mention is that, you know, they were both CEOs of their corporations that bore their name at a time when it was a total men's club. I mean, mm-hmm. it was them and Henry Ford. You know, that was the male equivalent. They were as big as that, and they were women. And the piece also examines what it's like to be a woman executive in a man's world, and what it's like competing with a woman in a man's world.
What drew you to this project?
Well, you know, I wish I could say that I had lots of experience with mascara and eyeliner personally, but I don't. No, it seemed like it could have, you know, different colors. It could have, it could be entertaining. It could be provocative. It could talk about women's, I think, complicated relationship that they have with makeup and cosmetics. I mean, I think that that's the part that resonates today for me, that notion of, can I go out of the apartment without my face on? And a lot of women say yes, and a lot of women say no. And what does that mean? And what's the legacy of Rubenstein and Arden? Because they were the first in some ways to suggest the consumer culture of you have to have the latest lipstick and blush and rouge and lotion. And if you don't, you won't be happy. You won't find a man. You'll die alone and impoverished.
So there's a there. I mean, there's a lot that goes into a musical like this, not just the music, but when you are talking about stories of women in a man's world, you're talking about sort of these kind of clashing concepts of beauty and what's the expectations. So there's a lot that goes into it. Does that also attract you in the sense that there's a lot of sort of ripe storylines and conflict that you can work off as a musician?
Very much so. And, you know, it's dealing with people who really lived, actual historical figures. There's amazing material from biographies of them and their life stories. There's also the inevitable dramatic license that the authors of the musical, myself included, will take, mostly in terms of about compressing events. Rubenstein lived to be in her early 90s and Arden well into her 80s. So in 2 hours and 25 minutes, that's a lot of ground to cover. So we're not doing all 90 years of the life.
30s out, 40s out.
Right.
Get rid of
them.
Right.
So yeah. we have compressed certain things. But it's essentially true.
Scott Frankel is the composer of War Paint, which is going to be up at the Goodman Theater, the world premiere, which is June 28th. It's also going to be at Litfest tomorrow at the Hotel Blake, or Saturday at the Hotel Blake at 12:30. It's a panel discussion about War Paint, moderated by Tribune's Chris Jones. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Scott Frankel here on The Download. Stay with us. It's not every day you get a Broadway musical composer in studio. You have a problem with the Cars for Kids
jingle.
Yeah,
I thought it was just on the East Coast, but I'm so terrified / thrilled to be hearing it here as well. So when you set text to music, you want it to sound, you know, like we would talk in real life. But in the Cars for Kids jingle, and let me be the first to say, I'm sure it's an excellent and very worthy organization.
Sure.
Presumably.
We're not talking about the organization. We're talking about the jingle.
But they go, donate your cars today. And you don't say donate. It's donate.
Right.
Donate your cars today. That's...
You call them up, say, hey, listen, have you seen Grey Gardens?
Yeah, I mean, you need me desperately, Cars for Kids. I might even do it for free.
How about Cars the Kids, the musical?
Great idea.
You know what? Let's not give them away. Let's not give these ideas.
These are gold, Justin. You might want to claim some proprietary rights to this conversation.
Scott Frankel's in studio with me. He is the composer of the new world premiere, War Paint. The show, the musical that's going to be at the Goodman Theater starting on June 28th.
I feel I should mention my incredibly talented collaborators, Michael Corey, the lyricist, and Doug Wright, the Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright. And we're reunited with our Grey Gardens director, Michael Greif, who directed Rent.
It's a small world, Broadway. But how great is it when you get a chance to work with some of the people you've worked with on projects before?
Totally amazing. We've been looking for something to reunite us and this is an auspicious and happy occasion, and to be reunited with Christine Ebersole, who starred and won a Tony Award for her performance in Grey Gardens. So that's happy as well. I've known Patty, too. I've known Patty for a gazillion years. And the thing about what's so amazing for a composer is these are two phenomenal voices, beyond them being incredibly smart, talented actresses.
Do you write with voices in mind?
Absolutely. And again, since we pretty much knew that these two ladies, they were always on our, you know, number one dream list for this project. So when I'm home writing, I'm imagining them singing it. There's a huge gap, by the way, between me singing it at the piano and how it's actually going to sound on stage at the Goodman Theater beginning on July. No, June 28th. June 28th is coming up soon.
It is. It's coming up soon.
Yikes. So these are both phenomenal singing actresses, and what a treat for me to give each of them hopefully their best ammunition in the war and let them duke it out while I go home to New York.
Scott, let's talk about your career because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I mean, you were assistant conductor on Into the Woods, and that was a 1987 credit. How did you start in Broadway?
I was young. I was young once, Justin. You know, like you are. I mean, maybe even younger. I went to Yale. I majored in music, and I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. So it was Ohio to Connecticut, and then from Connecticut, I got on the Interstate 95, and I went to New York, and I just started, playing in the pits of Broadway shows, or asking around, or playing rehearsals, and it led me to some amazing places. I worked on the original production of Les Mis as a pianist, and to Sondheim for Into the Woods, as you mentioned, and that was incredible for a 23-year-old.
Is that the way that a career in Broadway is going to go for a composer? I mean, you start in the pits, you start playing piano, you start doing things that are just components of the music?
I think a lot of, Marvin Hamlisch started out as a rehearsal pianist, and, I think a lot of... John Kander was a rehearsal pianist of Kander and Ebbur Cabaret in Chicago. So, yeah, it's a kind of great way to be a fly on the wall with some great directors and stars and to see how shows are put together. And
What did you learn as a 23-year-old in the pit playing, as looking back on it as a composer, what did that experience teach you that helps you write musicals today?
You know, one thing was amazing watching Stephen Sondheim, that in rehearsal, he would always have a pad, and there would be no kind of artistic temper, but there was no yelling, there was no, you're doing it wrong. He would just very calmly write things down, and then he would go over with the actor or the conductor or whoever he had notes for, but it was so kind of precise and specific. I was always taken by that it was... There were no plates were flying through the air. It was all very reasonable.
And so you take that with you?
Well, no, I'm a monster in rehearsal. I've gone the other direction.
That's not what I'm going to do, Stephen. Not
wait,
that.
Wait. Whoa, did I just say that? I should also mention that my college classmate Tina Landau is directing the
SpongeBob,
world.
Yeah,
SpongeBob right up the street. It's like Yale reunion week in town.
That plays back to the idea that Broadway is a pretty small community, even though there's a ton of artists and musicians and composers and playwrights. You end up working and knowing a lot of people, and that's really how you get your next project.
I think it's wonderful to work with new people, and it's also great to be reunited with people you knew as teenagers, for God's sakes. I mean, we took it really seriously. I remember that. Like now, it was like it was life and death looking back. Like, oh my God, do you have the rewrites for tomorrow? Do you have the rewrites? Are you going to be in time for rehearsal? I was like, how devastating could it have been if you were late for rehearsal as a 20-year-old junior at Yale? I mean, it's not like you're going to, Well, time.
Yeah,
distance.
But I was going to say time is
time, and of course a long stay in the state penitentiary for me as well, which gave me a lot of time to reflect.
That's where all the tattoos are from.
Totally, and it's weird because being Jewish, I'm not supposed to get tattoos because of the religious prescription. But I've gone another direction, like the Sondheim anecdote. He's measured and thoughtful, and I just yell and scream.
From your experiences with all the composers that you worked with, when you were a conductor, when you were a pianist, when you were in the pit. Has that helped you define a sound for as a writer, as a composer? I mean, is it like being a musician, a pop musician, where you have a certain distinct sound that you bring to the musicals?
It's a really interesting question. In a way, yes, but in a way, I almost look back to their influences. So, like stuff in classical music or stuff in pop music, it all kind of trickles down and then ends up in the. I'm going to mix my metaphors and then ends up in the Cuisinart in my head, and I don't. Consciously ape any of them, but I think the influences from everyone from, ELO to Mozart, and everything in between. I mean, I have a pretty eclectic taste in music. And
is there a kind of music that you'll stay away from that you're like, as a composer, that I know I have limitations in that music?
Well, more on the listening level, like sometimes the Celtic stuff on NPR, like those flutes, like it's like, seriously, you guys, it's like, come on. Or like the accent in the Celtic. I mean, well, I'm sure. Well, yes.
The Thistle and Shamrock.
I'm not going to be doing the whole Riverdance 2 musical.
I'm going to hold you to that. When Riverdance 2 comes out and it's like.
They're also not calling me for that. So
Scott Frankel.
Never say never. I would love to write Riverdance 3, however. By then, I will have worked my way up to it in my head.
Scott Frankel is a composer. He is the composer behind the new musical War Paint, which is going to be at the Goodman Theater starting on June 28th, world premiere Broadway musical. We'll continue the conversation. You're going to be at the Lit Fest this weekend, Saturday at 12:30 at the Hotel Blake. Panel discussion moderated by the Tribs, Chris Jones. We'll take a break for the news. We'll come back. I'd love to talk to you just about the process of putting a musical together. This musical and others you've worked on, rehearsals, all the stuff that goes into it. There's a lot of people that just don't know about what happens behind the scenes before it even hits the stage.
First thing you need is the prescription medication.
There it is. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table, Broadway composer Scott Frankel. He's the man behind the music. The new Goodman show, War Paint, starts on June 28th. He's going to be at the Lit Fest this weekend, a panel discussion moderated by the Chicago Tribune's Chris Jones, Saturday at 12:30 at the Hotel Blake, which you just told me is haunted.
That's what I hear. I can't get confirmation on that, but if you do Wikipedia on the Hotel Blake, that's the first thing that comes up. So if I don't come back from the Lit Fest, you'll know there was a problem.
You get to go see a great conversation about war paint, and you get to be in a haunted hotel.
Yeah. Ectoplasm.
Kind of great.
Stuff.
That's all the rage these days.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about war paint, but we're also talking about your career in Broadway musicals. One of the things I never knew, and as I had more conversations with Broadway artists, you find out that there's a whole ecosystem behind the Broadway musical before it even gets to the stage, and sometimes without the stage. And that's the rehearsal process for projects and other productions that composers like yourself are working on.
Yeah,
You
get an idea for something, and you work on it for years and years and years, and then it's in your head, and then it's on the page, and then you've written some tunes for it. And then, you know, if you're lucky, maybe you get some actors to read it in a rehearsal room. And then if you're really, really lucky, like I am, you get to see it at this incredible theater in Chicago for a world premiere. There are 800,000 people in that theater right now, hanging lights and building sets and designing costumes and working on makeup and transitions. And there's a guy in the basement writing out orchestra parts, and there's going to be a band in there. And to see all those components put together, I mean, that's one of the great things about live theater. It's real time. It's not pre-recorded. No one's lip syncing. It's all happening. And it's all these jigsaw puzzle pieces put together. And it's an incredible privilege. And they say it's the uniquely American art form that to sing and to dance and to act and to have it live on stage is what we bring to the culture.
How many productions do you or projects do you think? Let me just ask it this way. I mean, how many times have you come up with that idea in your head and it hasn't made it to the Broadway stage?
Much more than have.
Right. But that's interesting. You have credits are unbelievable Broadway credits for being involved in, whether it be In the Pit or composing Grey Gardens or Far From Heaven, you were involved in that. I mean,
there
so
was just
these,
a production here this year, so which I unfortunately didn't get a chance to see. But yeah.
You had successes, and for all those successes as a Broadway composer, there are still a lot that didn't get off the ground.
Absolutely. I've had certainly my share of heartaches, and I think you can see it in my face, Justin. I'm not tearing up, but I think you can see the lines. No, it's a
one single tear.
I mean, you have to you know, unless you want it done in your living room, you have to hustle and work and be patient and just hope for a lot of luck.
Is there one project that you think of that you're like, that was my passion play? That was what I loved, and it didn't get past the rehearsals.
No, actually it did, and that was Grey Gardens.
Really?
Yeah.
So talk about that, because that was a documentary.
Right. I mean, so it's this documentary film by the great Albert and David Maisels, the Maisels brothers, and it was about an aunt and a first cousin of Jackie Kennedy. And they were both named Edith, Big Edith and Little Edith. And they lived together in this decrepit mansion in East Hampton called Grey Gardens. And, you know, up until that point, a documentary had never been turned into a musical. And I had this crazy idea. I thought, well, maybe it could be a musical. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but maybe it could be. And so I then started to go out and get the rights and try to convince everybody that I wasn't insane.
Did people, I mean, that because it was a new experience in Grey Gardens, taking a documentary,
right.
Were people reticent? Were they like,
Oh, everyone thought I was crazy. I mean, and I won't dispute that in any way, because that would just be a lie. But you know, I think those artist-driven projects, the ones you have a passionate vision and other people, you know, it's like a Tesla kind of thing. It's like, I see this, but the possibility of this crazy battery-driven car. And you all may think I'm crazy, but you know, I think those are the good ideas, the ones that are unlikely.
Well, I mean, we've seen in Broadway musicals, just even currently, I mean, I think of the inspirations for Broadway musicals are wide-ranging. I mean, I think Rock of Ages and things like that.
Totally. Where it's like, there are some that can be like amazing pop catalogs of the Beatles or of, right. of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, like in Jersey Boys. Then there are some that are taken from books, and there are some that are taken from movies, and then there are... are some that are based on cosmetics executives from the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
What I'm interested is both. I mean, Grey Gardens and Far From Heaven was a movie before it was a musical. When you're adapting or taking something from another medium, mm-hmm. how do you keep from sort of having your visions and your images be duplicative of what was in the movie?
It's a really good question. But because the different mediums are so have their own sweet spots. For instance, I'll give you an example. Like in a movie, when a camera goes super close on an actor's face and there's no dialogue, and maybe there's just some scoring, or maybe there isn't, but you can see what the actor is thinking, and that's all silent. You can if they're elated, if they're pensive, if they're whatever they're feeling. In a musical, that's a great time for someone to sing. Okay. So that would be like a because you can't do a close up. You're 100 feet back in the audience. If you could,
so essentially, close ups are songs.
Ours can become soliloquies. Can become a way for characters to express what's inside of themselves. So that's a great. When the camera pans back, like in The Sound of Music, when there's the Swiss Alps and she's there doing, you know, that. That's a helicopter shot. Like, that's hard to do in the theater. So so you got to find another way to do that.
Right. Unless you're Spider-Man, right?
That's a lot of, that's many more millions than I have. And it's,
that's not in the budget for war paint,
shot? I have to say, Goodman Theater is an amazing, luxurious place to work, but it is still an institutional theater, which is to say, not a commercial theater.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, you've been involved with so many different projects, and we talked about Into the Woods, Les Mis, Grey Gardens, this war paint show that's coming up. Are you at a point in your career where you can pick the kind of projects that you want to be involved in, or are you still, like many other Broadway artists, just kind of like, I'm going to jump in and I hope people like this?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I wish I could say that the phone was ringing all the time with exciting offers, but it's not really true. So...
is that just indicative of the business?
I think so. And I think also, you know, I think it, in a way it's good because it inspires people like me to really look inside or look under rocks and think, well, no one's thought of this, but maybe this could work. And again, that kind of singular passion for something sometimes leads to an exciting project. And sometimes the other ones that are maybe a little bit more expected are maybe a little less exciting.
The shows that right now on Broadway, I think of even people who are listening right now to WGN Radio, maybe in Chicago aren't familiar with Broadway, but they get a feel for it when you have these sort of rising, you know, huge successes like Hamilton.
Yeah, you're gonna get Hamilton.
Yeah,
like
we are.
Fall.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, but what makes it amazing from a composer standpoint? What I'm saying is, like, you are inside. What makes that show better than other shows that are on Broadway?
It's super singular. The way that the composer takes contemporary music, not just rap, but kind of R&B too, and you have these historical 18th century characters that are speaking and singing in this incredibly contemporary vernacular, and that's super exciting juxtaposition. It's not ye old music playing, or not like fife and drum kind of thing.
Right,
it's hot and electric, and still. You get the history and you get the period, and there were the founding fathers. It was right when I was in high school, when the country was founded in the late 1700s.
Right. Yeah, no, that was a good time.
Yeah,
it was strong.
Totally,
I remember seeing you with the flute and the drum.
I did. Well, I had just been rejected from the Cars for Kids jingle competition, so I was a little dejected.
So you're
that
like,
day.
I'll come up with a composition for this battle, for this war.
It'll be a little military.
Right. All right, so. For you, this process right now that we're in, where you're in rehearsals and you talk about all the people that are at the theater right now, hundreds of people putting lights.
That's true.
Is this a sweet spot for you as a composer, or is it back in your living room when you're on your piano coming up with the music?
They're both incredibly satisfying in a way. One is more you know, imagination from nothing. And this is all, this is to see your house built from the blueprint in your head. And that's incredibly exciting too. We also make tons of changes every day in the script, in the music. Maybe this note is too long. Really? Maybe somebody can't hit this note, and so I need to make a different note. Maybe something feels long. Maybe something feels short. So, and I think also in previews, you know, we start June 28th. We open in the middle of July, and we run through August 14th. So we're going to keep working on it. There's this adage that you never finish musicals, you just open them. So,
and there's a plan with the Goodman Theater for this to be a world premiere here in Chicago, but to hit Broadway shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I mean, there are no specific plans, but that's certainly everyone's. I would be lying if I didn't say that was everybody's dream, certainly my dream, to show to have the biggest life possible, and that's usually the gold standard.
Okay, so what, for you and your career, and you've had such a great career writing music.
I got to come
musicals.
Back more often because it sounds so much better when you talk about that. When I think about it at home, I'm like, damn, I didn't get that job.
It's the internet. That's the internet that's telling me you had a great career.
Oh, okay,
right?
Fair enough.
So there you go. So, no, yeah, a lot of people have said that. But, you know, I guess what's the dream? I mean, is the dream to be have a show like Hamilton? Is the dream as a composer to win a Tony? And what is the end game for a composer on Broadway?
I think those are great, but I have to say, so, like, there have been amazing productions of Grey Gardens that I've seen, like, in Rio and in Tokyo, and until you've seen Jackie Kennedy's relatives, you see the set in East Hampton, and they open their mouths, and they're speaking and singing in Japanese, and you're like, wow, was the jet lag that bad? But, you know, it to see your work live on without you being involved, that to me is an incredible, that's what I treasure. That you know, they'll do it in high schools, they do it, it'll touch someone, it'll resonate for someone long after I'm gone, at least I hope so.
Scott Frankel is the composer of the new show War Paint, which is at the Goodman Theater. Previews start June 28th. It's running through August 14th.
I'm going to say goodmantheater.org, and I think there are still some tickets available.
There you go.
All of that.
It's War Paint. It's starring Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole. It's a world premiere Broadway musical here at the Goodman Theater this summer. You can also check out the Lit Fest this weekend, the Printer's Row Lit Fest at the Hotel Blake, the Haunted Hotel Blake. Saturday at 12:30, a panel discussion about War Paint, moderated by Tribb's Chris Jones. Scott will be there. Scott Frankel, thanks for being my guest tonight.
Thank you. And if you come to the theater, I'll be the guy pacing nervously in the back.